Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, today, ladies, we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10 and going through verse 23. I've titled this lesson, Follow the Builder's Plans. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through a fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Okay, so Paul is talking a lot about foundational matters today, and it matters. Paul, to be clear, isn't inventing this concept. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus says this, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Paul is building on that same metaphor that Jesus gave us. It's also very important for us to see how Paul uses foundation here and what a foundation means. The foundation, as Paul explains in detail, is just that, a foundation. It's the bottom, the place that supports everything else. And here, Paul issues a warning. Paul has, by the grace of God, laid a foundation in the Corinthian church. The cornerstone of that foundation is Christ. Now, the cornerstone is the most important stone. It's the stone placed which everything else has to line up against. And Christ is that most important stone. That's where Paul lines up everything. Everything Paul teaches and comprehends comes from that starting point. That's where the foundation is built. And Paul was equipped to do this work by God. Paul laid the foundation. Apollos built on it. Every person must be careful how they build from there. That foundation, if truly laid, cannot be redone. Paul here is warning the people not to just rest on their salvation, but to go forward, to build and grow in holiness and sanctification, and to do so carefully. Here's the thing. You can't hide from God. You can't hide your works, your thoughts, or your heart. If you build on a true foundation with things that will not last, they will be revealed by fire, which will test that work. Notice that these materials are not necessarily sinful, but they're materials that are shallow and lacking in eternal value. Paul, remember, is addressing the group at Corinth, and as he does, he refers to some ministers that were relying on man-centered tactics to build the church with perishable material. Unsound teaching or superficial converts that such teaching attracts for a time may seem to indicate that the materials are pleasing to God, but if they are not based on Christ, they're actually of no value. Now, this is also applicable generally to individuals, and we all must be careful with what we build on the foundation of Christ, because it will be tested by fire. And if the work survives, he will receive a reward. Which kind of brings me to a little side note. Did you know that there will be rewards in heaven? Salvation, true salvation, is free. But if we abandon the foundation of Christ, that will be found out. And while salvation may still be true, and we still may have true salvation, the rewards will not be there. Just as there are levels of punishment in hell, too, there will be different rewards in heaven. Now, don't misunderstand me, because I'm not talking about Dante, who talked about the circles of hell, but Jesus' own words indicate that there will be stricter punishment for those who lead others astray, and in various places he talks about how it would be worse for this group than if they had never been born because of what they have done, and we see that there will be harsher punishments given to some. That's a true thing. But those who are truly saved will be truly saved, and they will be in heaven. But not everyone will be rewarded the same. I often wonder a bit at that because I can't picture that without my sinful flesh going in there too and thinking, but what if somebody gets jealous that somebody else has a better reward in heaven? But that's the thing. In heaven, there won't be jealousy like that because that's a sinful jealousy. Envy won't be a thing. We won't covet what someone else receives. We will rejoice in what we have perfectly, and we'll rejoice that they have what they've been given. We can't really comprehend that right now. But just understand that when Paul is talking about rewards in heaven, he's not talking necessarily about salvation. Salvation is one thing. The rewards we're granted in heaven are a different thing. Well, verse 16 is so often used to support sexual purity, but in the context, that's not what it's about. Now, don't misunderstand, because in chapter 6, which we're coming to, we will see Paul address sexual purity, and he does so using a similar metaphor. But here, this particular verse in context isn't about sexuality. Remember, Paul is addressing the group at Corinth regarding the factions and divisions they have. He again is coming back to the theme of unity, because God's Spirit dwells in God's people. Paul has just warned them to be careful lest they lose their reward, not their salvation, and then he takes it one step further and reminds them that God takes his bride very seriously. In the Old Testament, God would signal his presence in the temple with the glory cloud, but now he lives in his people by the Holy Spirit. We are the temple individually and corporately. If, in the divisions and factions of these people, they do harm to what God has built, if they tear it down, they are warned to be careful, because that is evidence that they may not actually ever have been God's, and they will be judged. If they are actively destroying God's work, God will not spare them. Paul then concludes with repetition of the theme of true wisdom versus foolishness, and sadly we see that they fall on the side of foolishness. If any of them are prideful of their wisdom, they should be humbled, and they should even seek to be fools for God in order to gain true wisdom. God catches the wise in their craftiness. He knows the worthless thoughts of the wise. God isn't fooled. He can't be deceived. So, Paul sums up, stop looking to men to be your idol or celebrity. We have all we need in the Spirit and in God's Word when we are His. No matter who we are, whether Paul or Apollos or anyone else. Still, all things are yours, right? That is, all things that are necessary for your growth and sanctification in Christ are yours. And that includes specific teachers. Since every true gospel ministry is a gift to the church from Christ, rivalry and jealousy amongst teachers are absolutely ridiculous. The Corinthians sadly don't appreciate the real Christian privileges, and they are looking for things to make them stand out that have nothing to do with Christ. We are given by the Father to the Son, as we are told in John 6:38. We are the prize for which he died. We don't need more. We don't need to be acolytes to this or that famous teacher. It simply isn't necessary. So, there's so much in this section, but here are a few questions for you today. Are you building on the foundation of Christ or of something else? How are you building? Are you careful to make sure your building blocks line up with His Word? Are you helping to encourage others to build on His Word, or are you pointing to other things that may or may not be actually helpful? We can get so obsessed with having influence or making an impact that we forget that God is the one in the job of building His church. He does it, not us. We are invited and commanded, yes, to participate in what He is doing in setting other captives free. We have the privilege of working with God to share the only hope that exists to a lost and fallen world. Are we doing that? Or are we looking for the next charismatic speaker and the next feeling-based pseudo-Bible study? Are you boasting in men or in Christ? If you would defend your favorite teacher, even when demonstrated from Scripture that they are teaching error, you need to consider where your actual loyalty lies. So take stock today and consider what you are building on the foundation of Christ and His glorious gospel. And then share that gospel with others around you. You'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, day 7. Follow the Builder's Plans.